Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their drums.
Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, well, it's really been a question. The big question is, what is the frontier that you're currently in or being invited to enter into in this season of your life with God? The frontier. When you think about the contrast between a settlement and a frontier is that extreme limit. It's kind of the edge of that settled land beyond which there's nothing but wilderness, the unknown, the mystery. So that's in the terms of the natural, but it could also be the limit of your understanding in a particular area of your life, in a particular area of your own personal growth and development. Maybe there's been a ceiling that you've been bumping up against relationally with other people. Maybe there's been a misunderstanding of who God is. Maybe there's a new frontier where God's inviting you to start to discover His voice. Maybe He's trying to teach you some things about your authority in Christ. Maybe He's entering with you into a frontier of new discoveries in your faith, in your family, in your own heart. You know, I would say that there's also a frontier where, you know, we kind of hit the limit of our ability to represent Jesus through our lives. You know, there's this, like, we settle into this place, and maybe the Lord is challenging you. Maybe the Lord has activated some spiritual gifts in you, and now all of a sudden, you just can't help yourself. You just start thinking about another person in a sense of how God sees them. And it's just in your heart that this compassion starts to well up. And you have this internal dialogue with yourself. You're like, I am not going to go talk to that person. I really want to talk to that person. I'm not going to talk to that person. That's the edge of your frontier. And maybe the frontier is the Lord helping you come into a place where you can learn how to engage people in a way that is naturally supernatural, and it helps bring hope and encouragement to people. These are all frontiers. So the question again was, what is the frontier you're currently in? Because you may have been in a season of new discoveries and so forth, so I don't want to minimize the fact that you might be in the middle of one right now. Or what are you being invited into with God? The verse that we've landed on that really helps us is 1 Corinthians 2:9, where it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has frontiers for you. Isn't it so kind that He's not going to let your Christian experience be that boring? Some of you, you've just sold everything. Or you've just moved into like this season of faith with God where you're just like Abraham, you know? A couple of weeks ago, I emphasized this moving into new territories and so on. And really, the bottom line with it is it's really all about transformation. I mean, it's about your transformation into a more accurate and consistent image of Jesus. And hold on to that idea that you're an image bearer here this morning. You're an image bearer this morning. I want to just talk a little bit. I'm just trying to give a little background, a little bit of review, kind of merge onto where I want to go today. You know, in the last couple of weeks, I pushed out 4 points that help us navigate the frontier that God may be inviting you into. The first one is that they rarely look the way you think they're going to look on the front end, right? Secondly, they require a new way of doing personal growth. So if it really is about transformation, then a genuine frontier with God relieves us of the pressure of trying to perform or to try to please God. And what it does is it invites us into positioning ourselves to receive the grace that is available to us through Christ Jesus. So it's a new way of doing personal growth. We don't do spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices in hopes of the blessing sort of equation, this transactional relationship. No, we engage in spiritual practices because we simply want to position ourselves to receive the grace that's available to us in Christ Jesus. No longer is the onus of our change and our transformation and our, you know, our development on us. No longer are we the self-righteous ones. No, we recognize that the onus of our transformation is solely on God and His amazing grace for us to bring transformation. So that's one of the things about frontiers. The third one is that while we can remember, and in fact we're encouraged to remember, all that God has done for us and the ways that God has moved with us and the stories of miracles and the testimony of God's goodness, we're not to look back in the sense of we're not to go back. So this frontier that God has for you is a forward-moving frontier. It takes you from where you were and where you're going, and it does you no good to turn around and go back. I've tried that. And talk about living a dissatisfied life. So that was one of the points. The other one was this, and the fourth one. And this is the one that merges us onto the fast lane here. Your frontier involves others. Together we live out our destiny with God. Together. And so this morning as we want to, you know, just park it here on the others category for a minute. I started this entire series on the story of God speaking to Abram and essentially telling him to leave his settlement and go to the land I will give to you. It really was a promise that Abraham entered into the new land. I mean, if you think about it, it was a promise that God had given him. We see that in Genesis 12:2. The promise that God makes with Abraham was this: I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I've enjoyed studying the life of Abraham, which Abram gets renamed into Abraham. I've enjoyed studying the life of Abraham over the years. Specifically, this one notable transformation in Abraham's life, and it had to do with his motives. If you think about this, on the onset, the promise was, you know, the carrot. There was this promise of a huge payout, a payoff of obedience was, if you do what I'm telling you to do, if you leave your settlement, I will make you great. I'll bless you. You'll be a blessing to others. Go, and I will bless you. That was the equation. And as his journey with God into this frontier unfolds, we see that there comes a time in Abraham's life when the motivation to obey God no longer hinges on the hope of some payoff, but rather it's a response to a relationship that he's entered into with God. It goes from leave and I will bless you to sacrifice your only promised son, period. And Abraham went for it. He was like, okay, God, I will trust you, even in this. You know that from point A to point B, there was a whole lot of life that was happening that got Abraham to that point where his motives, talk about transformation. It's no longer about the payoffs. What did it take for Abraham to get to that point in his trust? I want to actually have you take your Bibles out and turn to Genesis 18. This is one clue for me personally. This is one clue. It's a huge clue as to what facilitated that kind of transformation in a man's heart where his motivations were no longer about the payoff, the hope of blessing. But we're all about a response to a relationship that he had developed with God. The Lord appeared to Abraham. This is verse 1 of chapter 18 in Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried to the entrance of his tent and he met them and he bowed low to the ground. And he says, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet, and you may rest under this tree. Let me get something for you to eat, so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried, and he went to the tent with Sarah, and he says, quick, he says, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead them and bake them into some bread. And then he ran to the herd and he selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant who hurried and prepared it. And then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under the tree. There's a whole lot in this story. But let me simply point out 2 things here. The scene is set up as the Lord appearing to Abraham. And yet in the realm of discernible form, the Lord appears to him as 3 men. Wow. We'll unpack that in a sec. The second point is that Abraham and Sarah see the Holy One in the presence of these 3. And their first instinct is hospitality, to create a space for food and drink and rest. Again, we're pointing to what were some of the catalysts for this seismic transformation in Abraham's heart. And I would say that this points to a real key. And I want to bring it closer to our own story. We have to remember that in any frontier, we're invited into, is always best served up in the company of others, right? That's what we're talking about here. Namely, the Trinity and the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's jump right to the salient question here. How do you see or discern God? I'd say that much of my life, personally, and I can relate to a lot of people that I've talked to over the years, my image of God, the common Christian image of God, actually, is very static. As Richard Rohr puts it in his book, The Vine Dance, he says this, history has long operated with a static, an imperial view of God as a supreme monarch who is mostly living in splendid isolation from what he has created. This God is seen largely as a critical spectator. And when I say this God, and Richard Rohr would put this as well, it would be a little g God. He goes on to add that his followers do their level best to imitate their creator in this regard. Now think about that. The reason Abraham's internal motives changed so much is because his view of God changed so much. Instead of a distant judge who doles out both blessings and curse, if we were to obey, Abraham recognizes the nearness of God and the relationship who God actually is. Like, the relationship isn't just with God, but I think Abraham recognized that God in and of himself as a characteristic of his nature is relationship. First within himself and then towards Abraham. It's always been there. It always will be there. It will be a relationship that is forever been founded on love. And so this relationship with who God is, it's very active and moving and inviting and engaging. And so I want to point to that here in just a second. I'm going to reference 3 passages of scripture that point to the idea that who Abraham and who we can discover God to be is not static, not distant, not a spectator, but very active and engaging. John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 5:17, my father goes on working and so do I. John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. God is very active and involved. First within himself as the Trinity, and then with you and I. Again, Richard Rohr, I'll quote him here. Instead of God being the eternal threatener, we have God as the ultimate participant in everything, especially our lives, both the good and the painful. Last week, I quoted Chris Bolitan. He's a senior leader out of Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he said this. He said, between the promise and the palace, there's this process. And I believe the process that you and I are in, regardless of which frontier the Lord is inviting us into, the discovery is of the absolute nearness of God. That is the discovery. And I would say that that in and of itself will be the groundwork for us to transform. We have to change not only our view of who God is, we have to let that transformation, that renewing of our mind process change who we not only see ourselves to be, but as image bearers, the way that we perceive God is the way that we're going to act towards others relationally. I'm pretty convinced of that. I want to just point to a couple of things here. I want to point to the absolute integration of God in all and through all and with all. And this is according to Ephesians 4, verse 6. We have one Father, God, who is over all and through all and in all. And Colossians 3, 11 tells us this, that Christ is all and is in all. Can we imagine this absolute integration of God in your story? Can you imagine that? I just want to just lift our chin and heighten our imaginations to this idea of the complete integration of God relationally to our stories. And it starts with the complete integration of God within himself as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can see God extremely relational and involved in all things and through all things. I mean, as image bearers, you and I will naturally reflect, like I said, how we see God. And so the question is, do we see God as distant, as isolated, and critical? As image bearers, if we see God as the rewarder of the performer, you know, do you obey for the blessing sort of thing? Then actually, we run the risk of ourselves being distant and critical and isolated and a rewarder of the performer, not only within ourselves, but within other people's. Brian McLaren, he always makes me chuckle when I read his writings. I don't know if you've ever read any of his stuff. He wrote a book recently called Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. It's a fantastic book. And he wrote this. He says, do you struggle in the conventional understanding of God as a big white guy with a beard on a throne, with a fistful of swords or lightning bolts by which you or your enemies might be smitten at any moment if you think or act incorrectly? Okay. That's a pretty dramatic sort of like image, but I can tell you that there have been times in my life when I actually thought of God that way. And some of you have been fully liberated from that image of God, and I just want to bless you in that. And I'm speaking to those who may not have made that transformation yet in their image of God. It might explain to us why we would have these tendencies to be relationally distant. For many, the idea of the Trinity only triples their God problems. You know, save from maybe Jesus. Like a lot of people that I talk to really enjoy the idea of Jesus. But when they tie him to the Father, that's where they stumble in their understanding of who God is. So we need to get into this idea then that that there's a theology that has been pervasive in Western Christianity that's actually bad theology. And there's a a revolutionary way that God wants to unfold the scriptures for us, where he becomes deeply personal, deeply integrated, deeply active in our life, deeply connected. And so the profound nearness of God is really what I'm pointing towards. Otherwise, as William Paul Young, you guys know who he is, he wrote the book, The Shack. I don't know what you think about The Shack. I'm not promoting anything other than what he said here, because I kind of related and I kind of liked what he said here about bad theology. You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. Bad theology is like pornography. The imagination of a real relationship without the risk of one. It tends to be transactional and propositional rather than relational and mysterious. You don't have to trust a person or even care. It becomes an exercise in self-gratification and ultimately dehumanizes the self and the community of humanity in order to avoid the painful process of humility and trust. Ouch. Enough with bad theology. Enough with this dehumanizing God. You know, like he's out there, distant, critical, judge. He's just waiting to bring the hammer down. This integration of God relationally, in and of himself, towards you and I, again, it's the seedbed for beautiful transformation. Let me remind us that in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, relationship. And as you and I see him in this way, is it our response to invite and to offer hospitality? Do you see God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit integrated, involved, and active, the very source of life and grace and love? And do we invite him to take a seat at our table? And do we prepare for him a meal? I mean, this idea, I mean, think about the transition from, God, I need you to feed me. I need you to bless me. I need you to give me a life that's worth living. To, stay here, God, and let me prepare something for you to eat. Wow. So I just want to bring that up today as a way of just acknowledging that we're being invited in all sorts of frontiers. Every single one of those frontiers is going to involve some form of transformation of our own lives. And the ground that we stand on in the most sustainable, consistent, and life-changing, you know, transformation is going to be in how we perceive God and how we interact with this very relational God and how we come into this place of honoring his presence in our life. I think that was what Abraham did. So if you see, again, we're back to this question, you know, if you see that God is inviting you into a frontier with him, and we remember that the point of any real frontier with God is to usher transformation into our lives, then you're moving from responding to God with the hope of some payoff to responding to God in humble trust that because you have a history of hosting the very active and wondrous presence of the Trinity, it's your honor to be a blessing to him through every gesture of goodness, through every honest dialogue that you have, through every heartfelt tear that you shed, through every grand adventure that you go on. I mean, these are the ways that we honor God with our lives. And I just wanted to lift our imaginations to this. There's occasion when I bring this cosmic overview, and I think it's really important for us to do that. And just as a reminder, anytime we're fascinated with the big picture of who God is, he will always bring it down to a very specific and a very caring act of love for someone else. And so let me just bless you with that. Let me just pray for us here as we receive this word from the Lord. And I just pray that your fascination with the Trinity will grow. And that as the Lord meets with you, you'll be like Abraham and you'll perceive that there are three there, right? In all things. So why don't you stand with me and we'll pray. Lord, you've had me fascinated with water, particularly rivers. And thank you that your scripture, your word tells us that there's a river that flows from the throne of grace. And it brings healing to nations. Thank you that you tell us that streams of living water flow from us. Lord, everything about that river is you. So I'm asking, Lord, would you give us the courage to step into the flow? Would you give us the courage to not settle for bad theology that puts you distant from our story? But would you give us the courage to risk relationship with you, with others? Because as we see you near, as we experience the wonder of your presence, as we hear you affirm who we are, then as image bearers, we begin to reflect that more and more. It's easier for us to compliment. It's easier for us to initiate. It's easier for us to see the best in someone else because that's how we've experienced you. And so, Lord, thank you for a relationship. Thank you for the wondrous mess that it can be. Thank you for the joys and the pain that are all balled up into this thing that we are invited into, first with you and with each other. And so I just want to bless every frontier that is represented in the hearts of these people here. I bless the process of transformation. I bless each one of us to discover the absolute nearness of who you are for us, in the entirety of who you are in relationship. So, Father, thank you for this flow. Thank you for this river of life that we get to enter into. And so I pray, God, that you would take us now, those of us who have been afraid, those of us who have had reason to not trust you as much because of the pain and the grief. I ask you, Lord, to give us the courage to step in. I pray for your healing to come, your strength to come, and your mercies to come here today. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.